5:30. Calling to order.
This meeting is being recorded.
Sorry.
Okay. Calling to order the Catuit Fire District Board of Fire Commissioners meeting Tuesday, July 27th, 5:30 p.m. We are meeting in yet another hybrid variation with both live and Zoom attendance. Roll call, present, Commissioner Pisano.
Commissioner Conley.
Commissioner Sace.
Chief Root. Deputy Pouliot.
Thank you. I'm going to suspend the agenda items to go to topics not anticipated and invite Pete Emerson to give us an updated report on his website development.
Before Pete starts, real quick, Pete took it upon himself to work on finding a way to create an improved district website for the district. He located some individuals, local individuals that were willing to volunteer their time, and he volunteered his time. So he's done this on his own time with no pay, and from what I've seen so far, he's done an incredible job. So I'll let him show you what he's where he's got so far and talk about where we're when we're looking to switch over. Go ahead, Pete.
Floor is all yours, Pete. Pete, can you hear us?
Can you hear us, Pete?
Yep.
Go ahead, whenever you're ready.
I'm sorry, you said you're ready for me to...
Go ahead and share you can go ahead and share the screen and show us what you got.
Okay. You able to see my screen there?
Yep, we've got you on your screen.
Okay. So, everybody's familiar with the current website. This is the update that I've done here. Just to kind of quickly go over some of it. Like what I went over last night with the financial committee, there's not a lot of content changes here. A lot of what I did is just reorganize the information that is currently there, make it a little easier to navigate, a little easier to read, a little more organized. So the main page here, you have your links at the top of the screen for each of the respective departments, fire, credential, water, with all of the pertinent links to various aspects of those, you know, boards, whether it be the meetings or news announcements, a lot of the history, stuff for the Prudential Committee, with the Freedom Hall, annual reports. Again, it's all the same information that's currently available on the website. It's just a little easier to find and navigate. Also on the main page here, there's a sliding screen with various announcements. It's something that we can change periodically to reflect different things that might be going on, different, you know, announcements that we might want to make a little more pertinent. And then as you scroll down to the bottom of the page, there's just a couple more links to the Fire Department, Prudential Committee, and Water Department pages, and then all of the current news and announcements, which are updated as the announcements or postings are updated. It reflects the most recent ones. This will display the top most recent 5 postings, and you can load more and view the archives as you so desire. All of our contact information down on the bottom, links to social media, YouTube, and other contact information. These are some of the most of the big changes, or updates, I should say, not changes. There are a few things that we're working on. Residential fire inspections is one of them. I'm trying to set this up so that we can use this as a scheduling and application and payment all online. I have most of it set up here, but needing to contact the company that we use for the water department payment processing. I'm pretty sure we can use that same company to pay, process payments for the fire department, and then I just need to fix the scheduling. I'm having some formatting issues with that right now. Fire department page here, I set up another one of those sliders with other information pop-ups periodically. The fire department page, you've got contact information. Information on the Board of Fire Commissioners, links to...
Pete, can you go back to the top again, please?
Administration, personnel.
Peter, Pete.
And also latest news as it pertains...
Pete, can you hear us?
Anything involving the fire department.
Pete, can you hear us at all?
Yeah.
Commissioner Connolly had a question for you.
I'm just curious, right there, Pete, if you click, is that live right now? Click for more information?
Is the page live?
The click for more information live, is that live?
More.
That one.
Yep.
That should bring you to the same page that I was just showing a minute ago here. That link might not be
okay,
set up right now, but this would just bring you to the residential fire inspections page that I set up here.
No, right, absolutely. I think that's great. I think that was set up nicely, and you know, I was just curious to see how it played out. So, all good. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time hearing you guys.
Right. So if you schedule it, can you schedule an inspection now? Can you click on that?
Yeah, no, this is a part of this that I haven't finished setting up
yet. I got
yet.
You, okay.
I'm having some formatting issues with it. If you take a look here, you might be able to see it's not really set up the way that it needs to be set up.
Got it. But it's great progress.
I'm not sure.
Great.
Yeah, I'm not sure why this isn't working the way that I wanted it to. And it's a little bit outside of my knowledge base, so the web developers that I'm that are helping me do this, or somebody I have to reach out to help out with that.
Pete, I got a question from Fran Parks. She asked if we can set up forms for filling out forms online. So I'm assuming she means applications for inspection, things such as that.
Reservations for Freedom Hall.
Yeah, you can download the application right now, as you can see right here. It's not a fillable form.
So we don't have fillable forms yet that are stored electronically somehow. They're just printouts, basically.
That's something that is, there are programs that you can get to make forms fillable, but they're kind of difficult to use. So we could either convert this form in its current state into a fillable form, which takes, it's a little bit of a process. Or we could come up with new forms that are fillable. That's another kind of fork in the road that I hit while I was doing this.
All right, thank you.
And I set up the same kind of thing to follow up on what Fran just asked. The Freedom Hall application for rental I put up here as well. So it is available for download.
That's great.
But that's the gist of it. Like I said, there's still a few things here and there that are being worked on. don't know if you guys have any other questions for me at this point.
Pete, I just want to say, I don't have a question. I just want to say you're making great progress. If this stuff all fills out where you are now, that's a major step forward in our process. Really appreciate all the time and energy you're putting into it.
Yeah, I'd second that. I think it looks great.
If you guys can just put your mics as close as possible, because they're really having a hard time getting the audio out to Zoom, so that people are having a hard time hearing us.
Yeah, I think it looks great.
Any questions for him?
Who else is helping?
He's found some people in the community that are working with them. I don't think we have those names.
Pete, do you want to give us the names of the volunteers in the community that are helping you out, helping us out?
We need to thank them.
Yeah, it's on the bottom of the page. Coastal Mountain Creative is the name of the company. It's Chris and Ruth Ann Boyd. They're husband and wife. This is their web development company. They're doing this project for us pro bono, free of charge. I don't know. They may live in Kituit. Oh, this is them right there, Chris and Ruth Ann.
Great.
They either live in Kituit or Mashpee. I can't remember where exactly.
Any other questions from any of the commissioners?
No, no questions.
Thank you, Pete, very much for your help. I really appreciate you doing a great job and looking forward to seeing the finished product.
I'm sorry, Chief. I couldn't hear the rest of that.
I'm sorry. You're doing a great job, and we're looking forward to seeing the finished product. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Going back to the agenda, we'll start with public comment.
Cynthia Gardner, 94 School Street. When you get down to reports of committees, the Policy Advisory Committee met, and they would really like you to reconsider having public comment at the beginning and end of your meeting. And as a citizen, I would like it to go to roll call vote. It has passed at the Water Commissioners and at the Prudential Committee, and I was hoping it would pass here.
Thank you. Next item is review and approval of any previous meeting minutes. I've reviewed them. I didn't see any corrections needed.
No issues.
I read them. No corrections.
Great. I would like a motion to accept them as presented then.
As stated.
Second.
Second.
In favor, Pisano.
Conley.
Zace.
Okay. Fire Chief's report.
For the month of June, we did 66 total responses. One was a fire, which was a mutual aid brush grass fire at the Centerville, 35 medicals, and 3 hazardous condition calls, 27 service, good intent, and false alarm calls. Of note, over the past month, since our last meeting, we had the windstorm, the tropical storm that came through that provided for a fairly busy day for us. We ended up bailing out half a dozen boats, helping a few residents bring their boats to shore and put them on trailers, assisted the harbor master in keeping the dock clear of residents. I think that's all this report as far as calls over the last month. Oh, we had a car fire last night. So there was an unattended car in, I think it's called the Trinity Gateway Community Church out on Route 28 across from Honeydew Donuts.
Yeah.
There was an unattended car that's been parked there for several months that mysteriously caught on fire last night. So Barnesville Police is investigating that. Administration, we're still working on putting the scheduling software in place. Training, we did marine training with the Coast Guard in early July. And over the last, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we sent 2 of our staff to a tactical strength and conditioning class at Hyannis Fire. Pro EMS report was attached. Personnel, we still have 1 out on injured on duty. It was one of our firefighters that hurt their back on a call. They've been out for, I think, two months now. May 12th, they went out. They're in physical therapy right now. It's going to be at least several more months before we get them back. So it's a significant back injury, and they're working really hard to try to get back on duty, but it's going to be a while. So our new insurance policy provides for the district for $1,000 compensation in their lost wages per week, payable to the district. So the district's going to start receiving $1,000 a week as of today, I believe.
Can I ask you to go back to the scheduling software? This has been in the works for a while. Is this just?
It kind of came last minute. The software program we were using up until a month ago, till the end of June. The company was bought by a different company, and they basically stopped supporting it. So the company we were using, ImageTrend, for our other services for fire reports, medical reports, they just released, actually it's still in beta form, a scheduling module. So we have jumped on board with a beta version starting July 1st. So it's been a little rocky getting on board because it's still a beta version and we haven't quite got it all up online and running. But we're looking to get that going by the next commissioner's meeting. It should be in place and 100% operational. So.
Great, thank you.
Apparatus, the only of note issue the last month was 266. The rear battery switch broke on it, so it was out of service for 2 days till we get a new switch. I just installed that within the last 2 hours, so that's back in service. Construction, the office for the station, we've moved my office from the second floor to the first floor. We got some scratch and dent furniture from WB Mason to replace stuff that was 30 plus years old, and we've cleaned out quite a bit of the station, thrown out a lot of cabinets, file stuff. We're working on digitalizing the rest and cleaning up the rest, and we're getting there. It's made a big difference since last month, so you should come by and take a look.
Good. Yeah, I'd like to. Are the new bedrooms?
New bedrooms are all moved in. They're all done. The offices that were bedrooms still have to get painted, so we're still working on that. But the flooring's done. Most of the office furniture has been fixed up and redone. We still got some old file cabinets that we're going through to try to weed everything out and simplify, clean up as best we can.
Good.
Affiliation agreement with Cape Cod Healthcare. Do you want to do that now or is that later on? Sorry.
Please.
Cape Cod Hospital has gotten involved in the affiliation agreement with our, it wasn't with them. Our affiliation agreement is with Cape Cod Healthcare, but we've got an agreement with Cape and Islands EMS. So Cape and Islands EMS is the subcontractor for Cape Cod Healthcare to provide quality control, QAQI, administrative support for Cape Cod Healthcare. They're the ones we've had some issues with contracts with. Cape Cod Healthcare has essentially taken over Cape and Islands EMS. They've essentially taken over the organization. They are supplementing any funding beyond what we're legally allowed. So some of the organizations, fire departments, are paying in excess of $10,000. Which causes some procurement problems under Mass state law. They have absorbed any excess amounts over $10,000 for the larger departments. They have decided that going forward, our QAQI through Pro EMS will satisfy the requirement. We don't have anybody else having access to our data anymore, and they are going to work on coming up with a new medical director just for the town of Barnesville Fire Department. So they're going to. The hospital is basically reorganizing them over the next year. So they've asked us to sign up for one more year with Cape and Islands EMS at the same rate as last year, so about $2,200, I think, to continue to get our medical direction from them. And over the next year, they will totally reinvent the organization to support us. So I think it's better to keep our organization with them and stay kind of linked up with the other fire departments over the next year. And as long as everything goes as they said, then we'll be in a good place next year. If it doesn't, we still have the opening to go to Beth Israel Plymouth. So BI Plymouth still has the offer on the table to go to them. The logistics of having them as a medical director, that wouldn't be undoable, but there's still a logistic issue with getting training from an organization that's out of Plymouth. So and the possibility of having to get supplies from them rather than supplies from Cape Cod. So right now I think we're going to, you know, with your consent, we'll re-sign a new contract for one more year with Cape and Islands EMS and see how it goes with the options to switch if we have to.
What about some of the concerns that were voiced at previous meetings about that organization?
So we had concerns about privacy of our data, patient HIPAA violations, the possible violations. They will not have access to our data. Our medical director will, but the organization at Cape and Islands is just going to be administrative. So they are not going to, they will accept the quality control from ProEMS, our billing company. They will work with the EMS officers for the local departments, and they'll be kind of a consortium of EMS officers that work with the medical director. So that's what they're working towards. I think it's going to work. I think it's going to, like I said, Cape Cod Healthcare does not want this to fail. They want us to all remain together as a single organization so that we all fall under them. You know, it's going to be a work in progress over the next year to see how it works out. But they've made assurances that they will not drop us. If something happens on Cape and Islands, they will continue to serve as our medical director. They're not going to force us to do anything Cape and Islands wants that we're not happy with. So going forward, I think it's going to be all right, and we have the option of leaving at any point in time we want them.
Does this relationship have a contract?
They ask us to sign a one-year contract. So there's a one-year contract that says we're obligated to pay them a set fee, a $2,000 fee for the year, and we're responsible for quality control review on our end. And the contract actually still says they take responsibility or are willing to do quality control for us. We want the medical director, we have to have the medical director, have access to our patient care files, but we don't have to have management at Cape and Islands EMS have access to our patient care reports, nor will they.
So $2,200
$2,200 to have a medical director that Cape Cod Hospital pays to support our operation, to support our training, to make sure to review our calls and make sure we're operating at a high standard. There is to have a doctor review, you know, the 500 or 600 calls a year we do, and to monitor new regulations in EMS and decide whether they want us to do them or not do them and implement training programs. There is a level of work, and the $2,000 is not a lot of money for all that effort. So free is better, but the free through BI Plymouth also comes with a logistics issue with, do we continue to get medical control through Cape and Islands or Cape Cod Healthcare, or do we have to call BI Plymouth for medical direction when we transport a patient to Cape Cod Hospital? And is Cape Cod Hospital still going to be willing to exchange medications for us when we get there, or do we have to send somebody to Plymouth to then get medication replacement? So the logistics of that would present a, you know, a challenge.
Agreement necessarily that spells out what their obligations are.
Yeah, I can forward you the agreement. It's I haven't signed the agreement obviously yet, but I'll put it in SharePoint. I should have put it in for this month, but it's a pretty generic contract. We can pull out at any point in time we want if we're not happy with the services they provide. Obviously, we'll be out the $2,200, but
the bottom line is that none of the things that were concerning us about.
Right.
That's right.
Okay. We had significant concerns on how they came up with numbers. So the billing rate, that's another issue we had. The number they billed each organization was basically darts thrown at a board. Nobody could figure out why we were paying $2,200, and I think Sandwich was paying like $22,000. Nobody really knew why, so there's some questions there. So Cape Cod Healthcare said, we're going to reduce your rates for the larger ones, and you know, going forward, we're going to come up with a real plan as to we're going to bill per call or per how many providers you have. And the services they have is going to be kind of an a la carte services. So we don't need their paramedic recertification program. So we're not going to ever pay for that part of it. So they're going to restructure their organization to say, you pay for what you need. If you just need a doctor to review your calls and be your medical director, then you'll just pay for that. So I wish I had more specifics on exactly what it's going to be, but it's kind of...
It sounds like it's less arbitrary, which is always good.
Yes. Cape Cod Healthcare does not like arbitrary. Their lawyers are all over this. They are intent on making this very specific and very organized, so...
I've been aware of this for a while. I haven't seen the new contract, but if you put it on SharePoint...
I will.
I could take a voting position to go forward with the contract based on what I currently understand. I don't know if we need to put any kind of proviso in there when we actually see the current text, because my understanding is it's going to be a work in progress over the coming year.
Yeah, no, I...
All right.
This is great.
The only other thing I had is the Kituit Currents posting. You want... Can we... I don't think that was in the... Is that in the new business?
Before we leave, I just want to... I had two questions about the some of the things in the warrant. So Detective Chief Joe Pugliot's cell phone reimbursements, is that... Was that a... Like a lump sum over for a lot of back...
Wait, we haven't gotten down to new business yet, though.
I thought that was you. Is that old? I thought that was old business. No.
So
we're back up at the affiliation agreement with Cape Cod Healthcare, and we haven't done the other old business.
So this is kind of under administration. I think your question is about warrant items. Is that?
Yeah. Okay. So
we'll get to that under review of the FY21 year end budget.
Okay.
Sure.
Sorry.
Do we need to take a formal vote about the contract?
We never have before, so I don't think there's any reason to.
All right. And the amount is such that I think you're within your authority.
It's less than the $5,000 you specified before.
It's the right thing to do. Good. Okay, under old business, that was it for you, right, Chief?
That's it for me. We'll, if we can add the Kituit Currents update
when
we get to
the
new
that.
Business. I think I'll let Commissioner Pisano talk about that first, if that's okay.
Yes, just thank you, Chief. Just a quick comment there. I've been working with the Chief on a few items I think we'll get into a little bit, but the Kituit, the Currents, the Civic Association, I assume everybody saw the listing in there this week?
Yes.
This month, I should say. The intent is to go forward and do that every month. Really appreciate the association allowing that to be there. So I want to thank the chief, the deputy, and some of the staff that helped to pull that together. So again, the intent is to have a message there every month, potentially call it Chief's Corner, right? The Chief's Corner. We'll see how that plays out, but that's what the plan is.
Great. I saw it. I liked it. I certainly hope we can take it forward.
Yeah, and just to give a little credit to firefighter Brian Lee. Brian Lee is one of our new firefighters. He has asked, as well as Christian Gardner, to be more involved, and he wanted to reach out and do some public relations. And when I talked about this, he said, "Can I write it?" And I said, "Absolutely." So he wrote it, and I think he wants to kind of take charge of this going forward. He's interested in contributing and doing extra, and he did a great job at it. So I'm.
That's great.
Yeah, I met them at the Strawberry Festival. They were a lot of energy.
You met Brian Lee there?
Yeah. Well, there's some of the guys.
Yeah.
A lot of good stuff.
We do. I got a lot of good stuff going on, so yeah.
Great. Policy Advisory Committee update.
So, the related to the comment that Ms. Gardner put, is the other commissions have voted on the Policy Advisory Committee's proposal to have public comment, provide public comment. Meetings, and so I'm suggesting that we ought to. That's the only is the, there is we haven't had a meeting since our last meeting. That's the only thing that sort of was a holdover past year's work.
I don't have the text immediately available to me of the recommendation. Can you give me the wording?
Well,
best you can.
Best I can. Is the proposal or the thought was that public comment could be allowed at the beginning and the end of meetings. The reason that the thought during the course of the meeting, there may be things come up that the public may want to ask questions about, rather than waiting to the next meeting. It might be more expedient to be able to have that kind of interaction with the public during the meeting. So I can't remember because I don't have it in front of me, and it will take me probably some time to find it. So beginning and end, there's public comment at the beginning and at the end of meetings. My understanding is that the Water Department voted for it unanimously. The Water Commission voted for it unanimously. The Prudential Committee voted for it, passed it two votes to one. So.
In our past, we have often had public comment at one end or the other, and sometimes both. Personally, as having been chair during that period, I like the discretion to waive one or the other depending on how big and complex the agenda for the night was. Does this proposal compromise that?
The proposal asks that each of the commissions put it on the agenda as written agenda as public comment before and after. Correct me if I'm wrong, anybody, but I suspect that it wouldn't be wrong, if you will, the judgment of, given the situation at hand, like for example, you just mentioned that. I think the wording was, let's at least have it on the agenda, and that if situation dictates that we need to change that, I don't see why that would be, would fly in the face of the spirit of the policy.
So you're suggesting that during the course of the meeting, the commissioners could make a decision that at this point in the meeting, at the end of the meeting, we're going to waive that?
Well, I'm just thinking about it on the fly because I can't, other than the example that you just gave, I can't think of a particular reason other than that we would say, well, no, we don't want to do that. I mean, it's.
But I think, to Commissioner Pisano's point, it's interesting to have some discretion in there. I think it's a good idea. As a general statement, I think it's a very good idea. I welcome the comment on both sides. But I do think there probably has to be some kind of a condition that could be leveraged in the event that the, for whatever reason at a point in time that had to be exercised. I don't know, just as you say, thinking about it on the fly.
Alternatively, I can say we have a meeting coming up in pretty short order because it's a delay in this meeting. I'm happy to get you the text of it, both of you, to reconsider, reacquaint ourselves with what that committee did, and then we can talk about it in 2 weeks.
Right, yeah, it's only like 2.5 weeks before we meet again. I would appreciate that. I'd just like to see the copy. I'm sure it's somewhere in my pile of papers at home, but I didn't.
Me too.
Don't have it.
Okay, so I'm good with that because it's only 2 weeks.
That's fine. We'll put it on the agenda for them. Anything on the elementary school committee?
I talked to via email to Fran and Jim and the rest of the committee, and I got back. We're in a holding now.
Part of waiting for the town to now take the next step.
Yes, the ball, so to speak, is in the town's court. There's nothing. It doesn't appear that there's anything we can do to inject urgency into their process.
What was the last step that was taken by us, and what are we waiting for from them?
We conveyed to the town that the annual district meeting, the district was in favor of the intermunicipal transfer of the property from the town of Barnstable to the fire district. Fire district. And now there's lots of evidently waiting for that.
Did they acknowledge that?
Yes. Okay. Not to me.
No. I.
Yeah, but and not to the committee as a body.
which, representing the district,
yes,
also.
Attorney Boudreau has been in the conversation.
And I'm curious, when did that happen? That was a couple
this
months
back,
ago. Now.
Yes, we identified or we alerted them in May, and the last conversation that I've seen that where Attorney Boudreau and the town communicated was in June. So
basically, we're going to sit around and wait to see what they decide.
This is, unfortunately, it appears that that's the case.
Could I just make the request that somebody follow up with them and just, you know?
Well, based on what I got back from Chairman Parks and Jim Danhauser, was we're on it. Meaning the people that are talking through Attorney Boudreau and with the town, there's communication. It's no longer with the body called the school committee. But
also, there is conversation going on now.
I wouldn't call it conversation specifically. Because no one said to me that we are in active conversations. We have communicated with the town, and all I can tell you guys is we're waiting for that process to unfold.
What I read in Attorney Boudreau's, one of his responses that appeared in an email, was that the town acknowledged receipt of the information and that the annual district meeting supported it.
I have no idea whether that was in writing.
I had a conversation, a brief conversation with David Anthony this afternoon. So David Anthony is the town manager responsible for property disposition.
Yeah.
He said that he has, or that Jim Danhauser has reached out to the town. They agreed on who's going to meet, so they know on the town's end who needs to meet with them. Their problem is getting a time, being at summer and lots of people on vacation, lined up with the town manager, assistant town manager, and the legal staff they need to be in this meeting. So I asked him, is there anything we can do to help expedite this, or can help with the organization? And he said, absolutely not. There's nothing you guys can do on your end. We just need to find a date when we can get these three people in a room to talk with the district. So,
right. Thanks. It's probably worth mentioning that the purpose of the Kituit School Committee, subcommittee, has probably run its course. It's, you know, did what we set out to do, and now this is happening. I'm not specifically involved.
Okay.
Nor should I be, frankly. You don't want to have that many cooks,
right,
in the kitchen.
And in the same line, our board itself is pretty well exhausted its role for now.
Right.
It's in the hands of the Prudential Committee on the district's end.
It looks like everything's on track. I've had conversations with the assistant town manager and the president of the Barnesville Town Council. They both expect this to go through. They don't see any reason why this is not going to go through the town council when they vote on it. But I guess we'll see what happens when they all meet.
Yeah.
Good.
I think that's great. I'm happy to continue to report on things that I think are going well.
And you're doing a sterling job.
It's a wonderful job. Can we put that on the record?
Okay.
I believe it is.
I think Commissioner Connolly had a little bit to add to the, the facility needs / school update.
Yeah, facilities assessment, but I want to go back to the Chief's Corner or the Currents or the write-up. One of the other things that's going to get mentioned in the next one, I believe, is that we'll be looking at doing some type of a monthly tour at the station. So that will be announced inside there to let people know when that's going to happen and to allow them to have access and know when they can come in, specifically for a tour. So I think that would be a nice thing to do overall.
Yeah, when's the next issue coming in? Do you know?
Don't have the dates in front of me.
I'm just wondering if it'll be out in time for, summer people are still here in Bowen in August.
I think it'll probably be at the end of that, in all frankness. But
is it monthly?
So that's just another piece that we wanted to add in there. As far as the needs assessment, just real quick, we did some work on reclamation. and I really appreciate the deputy's work here. So there's been a lot of conversation about a building of a new fire department, and wherever that building is put, there is requirement to have reclamation. There's a requirement to have what's called a tight tank. So wherever that building is put, there will be a reclamation system in place to collect any water that runs off the vehicles from washing or rain or whatever it is once they're inside. It'll go into a tight tank, which I have specifications here from the state of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And once it's in that tank, ultimately the only way it comes out of that tank is when it is pumped out as needed. So I just wanted to make sure everybody's on the same page relative to that.
Good, I appreciate the clarification. They talked about this back in May as well.
Good. Katua Currents, the last step, the required receipt of the information from us is August 4th. So there's an August Katua Currents. It should come out about August 14th, I guess.
Yeah, good. And the last old business item, Firefighter Physical Fitness Committee update.
So Firefighters Physical Fitness Committee, we had made some, I have to say that five times fast, right? We did some great progress there, working with Firefighter Lee, right, as well as Firefighter Casey, right, or paramedic Casey, excuse me. So we did some a lot of work there. We are coming to closure on an agreement. A lot of support from the union, from the team, so it was all good. We were coming to support when a great opportunity came up. And I'm going to defer to the chief for what that opportunity was and is.
So Hyannis Fire brought in a company, I think they're based out of California, to do a tactical strength and conditioning class. It was a four-day? Which one was it, Deb, you know? It was a four-day... I think eight to 10 hour day training is train the trainer class. So the class was to train individuals for different departments to create physical fitness conditioning programs in their facilities, in their departments, and to be the trainers, to be certified to be trainers. So we sent two firefighters. We sent Brian Lee and Christian Gardner. They went to the program, and after they came back, they said, you know, the work we've been doing was great, but they think that what they've learned now, that they can put a better training program together with more in-house resources. So this has enabled us, I believe, to have our people do the training rather than subcontract a lot of it out. We'll probably possibly still have some, you know, nutritional classes or other things that we have outside professionals do, but it should be a hopefully a more permanent, more investment from our staff, and a lower cost to the district as well. So we're waiting for them. They're going to put together a plan for us, and we'll have that back shortly.
That's great. That's a terrific option.
And I'll stay involved as part of that conversation, you know, rolls out with regards to the plan they're putting together.
Look forward to hearing more about it. Under new business, fiscal year 21 end of year budget update, we've been looking at various compilations and drafts. Have you had a chance to look at any of those?
Today, is that what you're referring to, the draft one?
Yes.
Yes.
And that's why I have just a couple of questions.
Okay.
Hey, sure.
I'm sure there's a simple answer. I was just wondering about
cell phones. So the deputy and I are on call 24/7, and part of our contract is that we are provided a reimbursement for our cell phone. We submit once a year. So instead of doing it every single month, that's the answer. So it's time consuming to put through bills and receipts. So we cover our bill through the end of the year, and at the end of the year, we give the treasurer copies of our cell phone for the entire year period, and they compensate us for our charges on our phone. So we can be held.
And I was interested in the brush gear. I saw that the line item for brush gear, this one.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just listening to the radio. Our ambulance is going mutual aid to Centerville right now. So the brush gear that we had, we don't do a whole lot of brush calls, but we do some. And the brush gear that we had was what was a deputy, probably about 20 years old. NFPA standard, I think, is 7 years on gear, 10 years on gear. So the gear we had was well outdated. We had funds available in protective clothing equipment, and well, we got a set of gear at a good price for everybody. So we replaced everybody's gear.
Awesome.
So every firefighter has brand new brush gear for the year. I think that came in at under $5,000 for everybody, I think, right?
It was.
Yeah, a lot of that gear, the new people had no gear. So they had some access.
So they would use, what they would end up doing is using structural fire gear for brush fires. And that's, it works, it's safe, but it creates a heat thermal condition for the firefighters that's not the most optimal. So they could, having a thinner, lighter set of gear, which is significantly cheaper too, obviously, because a full tie a set of structural gear is probably closer to $2,000 a piece. So so that's what that was.
Yeah, no, but rarely do things jump out.
Right. Well, it's a big number, so it jumps out. I get it. Yeah.
I just, yeah.
That's why we send it all to you.
Not a complaint.
Yeah.
Just a
overall, though, for the year, we ended up salary and wages, we only spent 92%.
Yeah.
And that's, we estimate our, you know, when we do salary for the year, we estimate pretty close to what we're going to use. Operations, we only spent 75%, so we turned back in 25%. So there was a few categories we were over. We were over in maintenance. We were over in uniforms for full-time personnel, and that was due to, we've got several new staff, so four or five new staff over the last year or two, and they didn't have Class A uniforms. So part of the contract is they are provided Class A dress uniforms, and that comes out of the budget for us, but it's not budgeted for in that account. In the past, we've used administrative funds to do that, but we've decided that all uniforms go under that one account. So we budget for $700 per person for the year. A Class A uniform is closer to $1,000 for a person. So for the four or five people that we had to get Class A uniforms, it put that a little over.
And the overall for the budget, all categories, we were about 10% under budget for the year, which I'm very happy to report. It also reflects, you know, variability, particularly in wages and salaries, also reflects the juggling act we do every year, trying to anticipate IOD costs and how variable they are. But we had a good year. Are there any other questions or comments about it? No?
No.
Good. The issues that had me add the executive session at the end have not developed, so we do not need to do that. In light of the fact that the meeting is going well, any other end of meeting public comment?
Cynthia Gardner, 94 School Street. When the chief gave his report under vehicles, there was no mention of the second ambulance that we agreed to purchase during the annual meeting. I was wondering if we could have an update of how that's going.
The loaner agreement with the combined agreement with Sandwich about that ambulance,
right, so
from Chatham?
The numbers that were based on a ambulance that's going to be turned in by Brewster, which is going to be available in December. So we are keeping our eyes out, and if we find something better between now and then, we will certainly go that direction. But we had identified a specific ambulance that would become available that was a good option for us. We haven't had a real thorough mechanical done to it yet, but we will. So we don't anticipate it happening until probably closer to December, unless something better comes up, in which case it will happen sooner.
Right. You jogged my memory. I do remember that from the beginning this was not going to become available. So as it gets closer, we'll have the complete mechanical review done in conjunction with Sandwich, right?
Right. Sandwich did identify there's a small grant that might be available if we were to find a gas-powered ambulance. Now, there aren't many used gas ambulances out there, but if we're looking at other options too, if we can find money, grant money to apply and be more creative about saving some money, we certainly will. But
good.
More than likely, we're not going to have a lot of movement on that till later in the fall.
In light of no other business needs to be done, I would
accept the motion to adjourn. So before we do, excuse me, are we agreed on the second week in August for our next meeting? Which would be the 10th.
It is on my calendar, and I am okay with that.
Commissioner Conley?
Yep, all good.
Looks very good. So I would accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second, favor, Pisano.
Conley, Zace.
We are done. Thank you all very much.